Have you ever gone off with an expectation that once you arrive, everything you need is with you? In fact, the illustration that I was going to bring was vividly demonstrated literally only about a couple of hours ago or less, because Maureen said to me goodbye and disappeared off. And I was sitting just chatting to Brian and Andrea when a little while later I heard the front door go and Maureen arrived back. I said, "What are you doing back?" She said, "I forgot to take with me what I wanted to take with me." She'd assumed she had it, and it wasn't until she arrived here she realized that what she assumed she had, she did not have. The message I feel God has laid on my heart for this evening is to preserve God's presence. To go preserving God's presence, and it's rooted in the verse that you will see on the screen. The verse that declares that for a man called Samson, he was suddenly to discover something that was absolutely terrible. Because it said he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. See, it's so easy for us to live in that place where we assume the presence of God is there with us. There is a universal sense in which God is true to his word, where Jesus said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." But there is a context in which the Spirit of God is an anointing that rests upon us. And that anointing is something that we can so easily think that we are still operating in and still moving under, only to discover with horror of horrors that the Spirit has been left. And no longer are we operating under the anointing of the Spirit. One of the books that R.T. Kendall wrote about the anointing carried an illustration of how he said that there was a dove that began to nest in the proximity of where he lived. And that this dove, it built its nest and then it laid its eggs and then it began to sit upon the eggs. And what R.T. Kendall pointed out was that the dove could be easily disturbed. And so if the door was suddenly shut with a bang, the dove would go. If he came too close to where the nest was, the dove would go. And what he understood was, over time, that he had to adjust his life so that the dove might continue to remain. I want you to know that in the anointing of God, we as individuals and we as a church need to adjust our lives so that the dove might continue to reside with us, so that the dove might continue to rest upon us, so the dove might continue to anoint us. And here in this story of Samson, we learn some lessons, but also we see hope. If the story was to finish at one particular point, I would be left personally devastated. But in every walk with God, there is always hope. In every relationship that God has with us, he takes hold of failures and he is able to transform them into amazing heroes of faith. And so we pick the story up from Judges 16. I'm not going to read the whole story, but I'm going to pick up from verse 13. It says, "Then Delilah said, 'You've been making fun of me and telling me lies. Won't you please tell me how you can be tied up securely?' Samson replied, 'If you weave the seven brands of my hair into the fabric on your loom and tighten it with the loom shuttle, I will be as weak as anyone else.' So while he slept, Delilah wove the seven brands of his hair into the fabric and tightened it with the loom shuttle. Again she cried out, 'Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you.' But as Samson woke up, pulled back the loom shuttle and yanked his hair away from the loom, and the fabric. Then Delilah pouted. How can you say you love me when you don't confide in me? You've made fun of me 3 times now, and you still haven't told me what makes you so strong. So day after day, she nagged him. I'm so glad I'm not married to someone who nags me very often. She nagged him until he couldn't stand it any longer. Finally, Samson told her his secret. My hair has never been cut, he confessed. For I was dedicated to God as a Nazarite from birth. If my head was shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as anyone else. Delilah realized he had finally told her the truth, so she sent for the Philistine leaders. Come back one more time, she said, for he has told me everything. So the Philistine leaders returned, and she brought them and brought the money with them. Delilah lulled Samson to sleep with his head in her lap, and she called in a man to shave off his hair, making his capture certain, and his strength left him. Then she cried out, Samson, the Philistines have come to capture you. When he woke up, he thought, I will do as before and shake myself free. But he didn't realize the Lord had left him. So the Philistines captured him, gouged out his eyes, took him to Gaza, where he was bound with bronze chains and made to grind grain in the prison. But here's the grace of God. But before long, his hair began to grow back. How could a man who was used so powerfully by God come to that place where he didn't even realize the anointed had lifted? There's some things I want you to understand in order that you might live in a place where you preserve God's presence. The thing is, we begin to see there is a downward spiral that takes place. And it's so easy for the enemy to create within us that same sense of downward spiral, which leads us to beginning to understand that we think the anointing is still with us and it's gone. Because in this downward spiral, it begins with Samson falling asleep. And you know, spiritually, we can begin to sleep. Jesus turned to his disciples and on one occasion said, watch and pray that you not be led into temptation. On another occasion, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he asked his disciples to pray with him. But when he came back, he found them asleep. Spiritual slumber is something that can so easily creep up upon all of us. We begin to discount the need for that time of being in the presence of God. We begin to move to a place where meeting with God's people is no longer of a priority. We do not begin to study the Word of God like we used to. We do not seek for the presence of God as once we yearned for. We can begin on that downward spiral of allowing spiritual slumber to take control of our lives. And as we begin to do that, there are a number of things that also kick in. We find that we lose our first love. Samson began to be devoted to other things. When he was called by God, even in the womb, it was in order that he might be devoted to God. That God would be the priority in his life, that he would serve God and no other. That God would be at the very forefront of all the plans and purposes he set in life. But we see that Samson begins to seek after other things. He gets drawn into sexual temptation. He begins to look for gratifying of the flesh. He begins to love others more than the call and the God who has called him. We discover that it can happen so easily because in Revelation chapter 2, we discover the Spirit speaks to a church. Church is called Ephesus. And this church seems to be doing all the things that should be happening. In many ways, the church is commended by the Spirit of God, but then suddenly there's a sting in the tail, where in one line the Spirit says to this church, but I have one thing against you. You have lost your first love. I'm so aware in my own life. It's so easy for me to lose my first love. I can end up loving my ministry more than my master. I can end up being in that place where things begin to attract me that shouldn't attract me. Where I begin to be driven by other means and other things rather than being driven by the plans and purposes and the heart and the longing that God has to manifest his glory and his majesty through me. And I believe I need to say to these Gateway Hub churches, do not lose your first love. Let everything that you do, all your actions, all your activities, all the things that you plan, let them be rooted in that they are first and foremost to promote and to reveal your first love, who is Jesus, is Lord and Saviour of all. We do not look for success for success' sake. We look for the expansion of the kingdom of God. We do not look just simply to add people to our numbers for us to be able to say that we have achieved a certain number and we've become a certain size church. We look to see that Jesus is glorified so that when people come, they come to discover and to know and experience the Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us. See, the other thing was that not only was he devoted to other things, but he began to despise the gifts that God had given to him. I find it quite remarkable that we can fall into that trap, and yet I can see how easily it can happen. How we begin to manifest and use the gifts for our own benefit. How we allow the gifts to be gifts that promote us rather than promoting the one who has called us. Where we become so familiar and so comfortable and so conscious of those gifts, there is a sense in which they no longer carry the value they once had. They're no longer seen as how precious they once were. And whatever gift you have been given, in whatever way you use that gift, you need to recognize it is a gift that has come from God. It is precious, and it is something that you must never become contentious of or despise. It is not for you to lay the gift down. It is not for you to begin to take the decision how that gift will operate. It is not for you to put your priorities, your ideas, your preferences above the gift that God has entrusted to you. Come on. But that is what Samson did. For him, the gift of the strength, the gift of the anointing, the gift of the power, the gift of the leadership, the gift of the responsibility, all that was placed in his hands from the moment that he was conceived, it became of less and less value to him. Until in the end, it was of so little value, he didn't even know he no longer had it. The anointing of the Spirit lifted. The presence of God departed. And he did not know that had happened. We see the contrast in the life of Moses when on one occasion Moses is told by God, Moses, I will continue to allow you to lead this people, and I will allow the miraculous to continue to happen. I will send angels to go with you, but my presence is not going to go with you. And Moses says, I'm not going to move. I'm not going to move anywhere unless your presence goes with us. What is it that distinguishes us from the rest of the people of earth? It's your presence. What is it distinguishes you as people of faith? It's not your religious background. It's not the songs we sing. It's not the things that we do. It's the presence of God. That is the characteristic that we each carry. It is that that impacts. It is that that transforms. It is that that enables us to be a representative of Jesus that portrays Jesus to the world. That's why when someone who said, I don't want to know about God, turns up at the house where the presence of God is. See, the fact remained for Samson, as we will see, even though he got so far away, he'd given up on God. God never gave up on him. And the presence of God manifests itself when we come to that place and we first accept and ask God to become Lord and Savior of life. We accept Jesus as our Savior and our friend. The presence of God comes and it permeates our lives, rests upon us. And even though we can allow the presence to lift from us, the impact of the presence can still be felt by others. And so here is Samson, who has gone on this downward spiral to the point where he is now devoid of power. A very sad statement that's made here. It said his strength left him. You see, it's so easy for us to operate out of our own strength. But if we operate of our own strength, we'll never be able to carry what we are called to carry. And we will never be able to achieve what we are called to achieve. And no matter how much ability God has given you, no matter how great your talents may be, no matter how well educated you are, no matter how much of the Bible you are able to quote, no matter how much you're able to operate in the area of worship, let me say to you that if you do it in your own strength, you are doomed for failure. Which is why it's great that Natalie celebrated the fact that it was God. God who has touched her business. Natalie, there's a sense in which, yes, it's your business, but actually it's his business. And he has called you to be an instrument that will speak words of life and will bring freedom to those who are bound. He has called you to operate not only simply in your own strength and in your own wisdom and understanding and in the knowledge that you have acquired, although all those instruments are good and important, but he has called you to understand that supernaturally you will receive words of wisdom and you will receive words of knowledge and you will be able to speak words of life into people who, as you connect with them, they will see Jesus. Amen. And hear from Jesus and discover Jesus. Devoid of power, the presence of God gone. And yet here we see the deluded mind of the person who has gone on that downward spiral to the point where they now aren't even aware the presence has left them. And they live in this knowledge that Samson lived in. Nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. When the enemy attacks, I'll have no problem. When the enemy comes, I can overcome. When the enemy assails me, I will be able to do exactly as I have done before. Victory is certain. And yet now, he was in a place where he was to discover that he had not only lost the presence of God, and as a result, the supernatural strength that was his, that he had now allowed himself to fall into the position where he now could be captured and where he could find himself imprisoned. Tragically, I've seen church leaders who have ended up in that place. I've seen churches that have ended up in that place because they have failed to stay in step with the mind of Christ. They've failed to stay in step with the working of the Spirit. And one of the things about the churches in Revelation, the seven churches that the Spirit speaks to, I've mentioned before that Maury and I had the privilege of going to visit the seven churches. The only problem is they're not there. They've gone. Some of them seemingly so successful, so large, achieving so much, but they began to fail to notice the lifting of the Spirit and the anointing going from them. And for us as a church group, with the sense of destiny and the plans and the purposes that God has for us, with a real sense in my own spirit that there are amazing days ahead, I also sense the warning. Do not lose sight of the anointing. Preserve God's presence. For some of you as individuals, I need to say to you, ask the question, am I still living in the same place of anointing that I was living in? Am I still sensing that same consciousness of the presence of God that I did know? Am I still operating in the areas of gifting that God called me to operate in? Am I still obedient to what God has called me to be? Am I still fulfilling the purposes and the plans that God has created in my life uniquely for me? Have I still come to that place where I can truly say that Jesus is my first love? And that everything else pales into significance compared to that. And I ask that question of myself. And I know in my own life there have been times when the answer to that question is no. I'm not in the place I was. I'm not connected as I was. I've lost something of the edge of the Spirit. I began to allow myself to be on this downward spiral, and suddenly I found myself captivated by habits that hold me, weaknesses that assail me, things that grip me, and I have no strength to be able to break free. Because the strength I have to live in a place of victory is not rooted in my strength. Is rooted in his strength, which is why we sing songs like strength will rise when we wait upon the Lord. But you see, in this dark time in Samson's life, there was a dawn that was coming. There was a hope that was going to break through. Because in the midst of this dark time, held in captivity, there was a distinctive sign that was taking place, imperceptible or unnoticed by the enemies. In case you don't know, hair is not something that I'm strong on. Indeed, as far as hair is concerned, I'm a bit lacking in that area. But what I do know is that the hair that I have got, the bit that remains, does continue to grow. It seems that there comes a moment in time when my hairdresser, who I'm married to, says, "You look a right mess. It's time you had a haircut." You see, hair is something that takes place growing over a period of time. None of us notice it. Those of us who shave will be aware from time to time that actually, we need to shave. I'm again one of those people that, you know, I couldn't grow a beard like Dean. I tried to do it once. I didn't shave for about 6 weeks, and someone said, "Haven't you shaved today?" And really, at that moment in time, I just gave up, to be honest. I just recognised that, you know, some of those men out here, you're called to be Esau's, some of us are called to be Jacob's. But the fact is that here is this distinctive sign that's taking place in the life of Samson. You see, slowly but surely, God was at work. Slowly but surely, the supernatural impartation of the Spirit was coming. Slowly but surely, as the Spirit began to move upon him and move in him, so his strength began to increase and began to grow. Until eventually, There came a point when Samson understood, I'm anointed again. He came to that place where once again he put God as the one who was preeminent in his life. Where he comes to that place where the Bible says that he began to pray again. To pray and to come and cry out to God. And this is just an amazing prayer. What he says is, God, will you remember me? In this moment, in the midst of all that I've gone through and all the ways in which I've failed you, will you remember me? And will you allow me to make a difference in this life? Will you allow me to know an even greater victory above all the victories that I've known before? Will you allow me to operate and once again flow in the anointing, in the supernatural strengthening of your spirit so that I might be able to establish your kingdom and bring glory to your name? And he understands how he can do that. And so he begins to fulfill the destiny and the plan that God has for him at that moment in time. And his strength is renewed. The power of God surges through his body. He cries out, acknowledging the God who is the God of Israel. The enemies that had gathered around to mock him, and in mocking him, mock the God that he represented and he stood for, suddenly saw the power of God unleashed amongst them. The power of God revealed in a way they never thought was possible. And everything that was built up, the edifice that they had created, which said that they were more powerful than the God of Israel, suddenly in a moment of time, Samson destroys it all. And reveals how God will not be mocked, and how that what we build so easily can be pulled down, but what God builds lasts for eternity. And so we come to the final point, which is that I'm so grateful that a man like Samson, who I can identify with in so many ways, becomes a decorated hero. And we read in Hebrews 11, what more shall I say? For time would fail me if I told of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. A man who did not understand how important it was to preserve God's presence, but a man who, even though he allowed himself to go on this downward spiral that took him to a point of this dark moment in his life, was to discover that God continued to touch him, work in him, and begin to raise him up again in order that the failure might become the hero of faith. To you as a church, and to you as individuals, wherever you may feel you are at this moment in time, I want you to know that God has not given up on you. I want you to know, for the prodigal, God has not given up on them. And that each and every one is still precious in his sight. And you may not see how he's working behind the scenes. You may not see how he is bringing about his purposes and plans. But you need to know there are distinctive signs, almost imperceptible, but in working in their lives and through their lives and in your life and through your and in your experience, God is bringing about the purposes and plans he has in order that strength will be restored, life will be renewed, transformation will come. And God will once again be honoured and glorified. Preserve God's presence and see what God can do. God bless you.